The lesson this morning is designed to help us think about how Jesus was able to come, but more importantly, how he was able to get back. So we asked a question. Why did you obey the gospel? That's the first part of the question. Why did you obey the gospel? And how did Jesus make it back to heaven? So however he made it back, wisdom says, follow his example. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. For those of you who are writing a text, John chapter 6, verses 38 through 40. So, wisdom says, how did Jesus make it back? And that makes the question flow into personal. How do we, me, I, make it to the Father's house? If you're interested this morning in going where Jesus went, note carefully the answer that the one who has made the round trip. Let us be concerned about what he has to say. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of that book gives us the definition of faith. Not only does it give us the definition of faith, it gives us examples of those who manifested faith in their life. For your Bible and my Bible says the same thing. Come for a moment, if you would please, to Hebrews chapter 11, which you're probably very, very familiar with. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says in verse 39, and these all, the ones that he's talked about above that, these all having obtained a good report, how? Through faith, receive not the promise, but having provided some better, but God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made complete. Your Bible may say perfect. We have a volume of individuals in chapter 11. A multiplicity of individuals who live their life by faith. Even under dire circumstances, including death, they maintained and manifested their faith in God. Abel offered a better sacrifice than his brother. You've read it, Enoch. What did I say, Enoch? No. Enoch never tasted of death. He was translated. Noah prepared an ark. How? By obedience. Abraham built an altar to sacrifice his son because God asked for him. And when he manifested that faith, God sent a substitute. Sarah was blessed by God with two sons. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, it's almost mind-boggling to see the height and see the commitment when real faith, God-blessed and God-given faith, is manifested in our lives. When we trust Christ, church, pardon the colloquialism, but there ain't nothing that God requires us to do that we cannot do. In your Bible, in the book of John, chapter 6, commencing with verse 38, Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven." Did you get that? I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but what? The will of him that sent me. Who sent you into the world? Who blessed you to be born into the world? Jesus says, I came determined, without hesitation. I came. I knew why I came, and I came with a made. Since I knew why I came with a made up mind to do the will of my Father. And this is the Father's will, verse 39, chapter 6. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me. Did you see that? You see it? That all he has given me. Now I want you to pause and think about that. Of all he has given me. He gave them to me with the understanding in my receiving them that I, Jesus, should lose nothing, but raise it up with it again at the last day. Do you see that, church? Is that shouting hallelujah time? Is that motivation to do the Father's will? Look at what Jesus says. For I came, verse 38. For I came down from heaven. Why did you make the transition? I made the transition to do my Father's will. Amen. Why were you added to the church? Why did you come forward, confess Jesus to be Lord and Savior? Your faith in Jesus Christ, and was buried in water baptism? Why? You just wanted to get cool on that day? Why did you come? Why did you accept the Savior's invitation if you didn't plan to do his will? Jesus says, I came to do. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Amen. Isn't that glorious? Is not that wondrous? It's hallelujah time. Jesus says, I'm going to do all that I can possibly do to be sure that those whom the Father gives me, I will bless them and be able to help them understand, so that they will follow my instructions. I'm not willing. Did you hear that? Jesus came, bled and died because he wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to have the glorious privilege, the honor of living with he and his Father in glory forever. And he was willing to pay that price, even coming down from heaven, knowing the penalty that had to be paid. Church, it can bring tears to your eyes, but more importantly, let it bring faith in a more determined faith in Jesus Christ and a recommitment, come what may. I'm going to follow my Lord. He did it for me. Come with me. He didn't stop helping me, all because a wicked world put him on a cross, because he wanted to help me. Let us, if we could not have that kind of attitude, God never would have put it in his Bible. By the grace of God, I can do all things. I think that's in our Bible. By the grace of God, by the help of God, by my obeying God and depending upon God, I can do all things, whatever he asks me to do. I could even put up with Odd Morris III. By the grace of God. Are we there, church? You know, when you look at this, ponder it, pray over it. It seems in many instances, and I think in your observation also, that someone else, is more concerned about me than I'm concerned about me. Just that fact, knowing that God gave his Son, knowing that his Son willingly came, stayed here for 33 years, mistreated, and then hung on a cross, and was willing to go to die on that cross. Does not that share a message with me? Does not that share a message with you? The love of God and how important you are to God. And also, how wonderfully and marvelously are you made? Because he made us. He created us. We came from God. And he wants us. He did it in the beginning because he wanted to have a relationship with us. He did it again through his Son on Calvary. Why? Because he still wants to have a relationship with us, with you and with me. Getting back to John chapter 6. I came down from heaven not to do my own will. When you obeyed the gospel, can you remember back there? This should be an easy answer to this one. When you obeyed the gospel, did you have the mind to live for Jesus Christ? To follow his instructions. I came down from heaven to do what was needed. I came down from heaven to do not to do what I wanted to do, but to do my own will, but to do my Father's will. I was baptized into Christ Jesus because I wanted to do the will of the Lord, not my own will. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have... Did you get that? It doesn't matter what grade you went to. You don't have to be as tall as me. And I don't have to be as tall as Mike. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, no matter how tall or how short you are, may have... Are you in verse 40? Are you in verse 40? May have what? Is that what you want? The option. Everlasting death or everlasting life. Everlasting death means everlasting separation from God in hell. This is the will of God. God manifests his will, church. Let us not take it lightly. And because we may hear the words often, let us not take it lightly. And this, verse 40, again. And this is the will of him that sent me. What is the will of him that sent me? That everyone which seeth the Son believeth on the Son may have everlasting life. Now, who, when it says everyone, who does that leave out? Has nothing to do with color, nothing to do with height, nothing to do with weight. But all it has to do, all of that, it does have to do. Look at the middle of the text. Believeth on him. Not believe on him, but believeth. That means belief and continuation. That includes believing and continuation. Believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Question. Do you remember? Do you recall? Why? Why? Why did you obey the gospel? Why did you walk out? Confess your Lord and Savior. I asked that question a little bit earlier. Why did you come to Christ at the very beginning if you didn't plan to stay? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting, unending. And I will raise him up at the last day. Did I give you a subject? I didn't give you a subject. The question I just asked reminded me of part of the subject. It has several words in it. Why did you obey the gospel? And how did Jesus make it back to heaven? He says, I came down from heaven to do what? I came down to do my Father's will. I came to do my Father's will. Why did you come? Why did you come? Why did you come and give your hand? Why did you come and confess, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Why? Did you come to do the Father's will? I came to do my Father's will, and he never deviated from that. And if any man, John chapter 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth what? Not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same. Is that in your Bible? Verse 48. The word that I have spoken. John chapter 12. The same shall do what? Shall judge him in the last day. He gives us the test ahead of time, so that we can be prepared at the final roundup of human affairs. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me, watch this, he gave me a commandment, not a suggestion, not just a recommendation. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. My Father. And it's the Father's will. It is the Father's will. That it is not the Father's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and obey his Son. Verse 50 says, and I know that his commandment is what? Life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me. You missed that. Let me run that by you again. Verse 50. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, I say nothing but what the Father said unto me. Because his word is everlasting. He has given it, and it is not to change. It is given and is not to change. Think about the territory that covers. That means that whatever is written is not to be changed. It doesn't matter how many schools you go to. It doesn't matter how many degrees you get. His word is not to be altered. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's it. No two churches, three churches, no. Just one church. Sing and make melody in your heart. Doesn't change. Sing and make melody in your heart and play the piano along with it or the organ. Doesn't change. Are we there, church? We're talking about how Jesus made it back to heaven. How did he make it back? I came to do my Father's will, and that's what I did. I didn't change anything. You obey the gospel to do the Father's will? Well, what happened? Be ready to good works. That's in the Father's will. Are you a follower? Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's in the Father's will. Love one another. That's in the Father's will. Be thou faithful unto death. Not until I get tired. Not until I get a job that calls me to work all day, all the time. No. Until you die. That's not the only job in the world. Church! I want you saved. God wants you saved. And as a preacher of the gospel, I want God to know that I preach his gospel like it was written. Jesus! How did Jesus make it back? I came to do my Father's will. How do you make it back into favor with God? It's a going back for us too. We must do the Father's will. That's how we, pardon my colloquial expression, but that's how we human beings, that's how we messed up in the first place. Pardon, I don't know if that's colloquialism.
That's how humanity sinned in the first place, by not obeying the Father's will. Eat of all the trees on the planet, except this one. He didn't make us sin. The heroes of the past, as mentioned earlier in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, stand by watching anxiously. Listen carefully as we close. The Hebrews of the past, according to this text, stand by, watching anxiously to see how God's people will act. This event, with those words, it kind of reminds us that the heroes of the past watching us are in the stands of glory, anxiously to see how us in these centuries will respond to the commandments of God. It's kind of like an Olympic contest. Stadium filled with past generations and the generations now living us. We're on the field. Since we have such a distinguished audience, let us run this race in such a way that our forefathers and our four brothers and sisters did it in their lifetime. Hebrews 11 is there for our example. It's there for our encouragement. Don't be dismayed. No matter what happens in your life, you ain't, pardon the colloquialism, but you ain't the only one that has had that happen in his or her life. Who remain faithful, loyal, committed, and dedicated. God is in charge of everything and everybody. God can take care of you no matter what you might be going through, no matter what you might be dealing with, even now, that you may consider to be very, very unpleasant. But there's a crowd that's watching us. Stadium is filled with past generations. We are on the field. And I would dare say that they are there cheering for the servants of God today. Since we have such a distinguished crowd of witnesses who made it safely home, let us be encouraged by their example. Let us march doggedly on in the pathway of duty. Whatever the price, whatever the challenge, whatever the difficulty, our brothers and sisters, it's recorded, brothers and sisters, our former brothers and sisters, record, their record is recorded as an encouragement to us. Number one, that you can do it, and we can do it. Why? Because God is watching us. You remember your Bible? Woo! You remember your Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus, read it sometime, went through crucifixion, dying. He kept his eyes fixed, not looking at the crowd. He kept his eyes fixed on his heavenly Father. Don't focus so much on what you're going through. Don't go on so much what you're being challenged by. Even if it's just a backache, think of whose you are. Think of whose you are. And think about your brother Jesus, and what he went through. But he stayed the course.
since we have such a distinguished crowd and they made it safely home, let us do what? Lay aside every weight, every obstacle. Let us lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us. And let us do what? Run the race that is set before us. Run the race that is set before us. Don't be so much looking at your problems, but keep your eyes on your help. Ever looking to Jesus. That's your help. That's our help. Praise God. Let us run with perseverance. Since our witnesses and the stands, they didn't quit. Let them stimulate us. And you know what, church? I believe I'm preaching this sermon to the choir. That's the way I see, pardon my colloquialism, that's the way I see y'all. Ever looking to Jesus. Running the race with perseverance. Since our witnesses in the stands, they are there because they didn't quit. Let them stimulate and encourage us. And you remember Jesus? He needed encouragement just like we do. His motivation was, I'm doing my Father's will. I'm doing my Father's will. He stayed focused on his Father's will. Did you hear me? He stayed focused on his Father's will. He's our Father. Our Father's will is that we all finish our race. Endure the consequences so that he can have the glorious honor and privilege of bringing us home to live forever with him. Your Bible says that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. And as a result, he won the victory. As a result, now he sits at the right hand of his Father. Never, never, ever to die again. So the question is answered. What question? How did Jesus make it back? He came to go back. How did he make it back? He stayed focused on his Father's will. He stayed focused on his goal. Closing. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us do what? Run with patience, or run with endurance, whatever challenges God allows in our lives. Our Bible says the race that is set before us, keeping our eyes focused on our Lord and Savior, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand, or at the right hand, of the throne of God, right hand of God in glory. Don't you want that to happen to you? How will we make it safely home? By staying focused on our Father's will and faithful regardless of the price. Because God pays more than anybody else. He pays more than any other employer. You want to make God your choice this morning? Are you a member of the Church of Christ? If not, five simple steps. You've already gone through the first one, and maybe even the second one. Hopefully, prayerfully, the second one. Hear the gospel, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The churches that was established during the lifetime of the apostles by the preaching of the apostles. Only one church. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Have a determined mind. I want to live for the Lord. I'm sorry for the sinful life that I've lived heretofore, but I'm giving my life now to Jesus Christ. Come forward and answer the question. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God? It's called confession. And then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. Coming up out of that water, heaven sees you as a new creature in the family of God. Ain't that good news? And this church has made it relatively convenient for those of you with that made up mind, because they've put a pool in here. We have a pool right here. They have the baptismal garment right here, and they have the baptizers on hand. You can give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. And when you do, God adopts you as his child. And he already knew that you were going to come. He knows who's going to come, because God knows everything. And he adopts you as his child. Ain't that good news? Adds you to his family. And then sends a helper to live in your heart. It's called the Holy Spirit. To enable and to empower you to live the life that he is calling you to live. He's made everything that you need. He has put it in place for you to obey him. There's rejoicing in heaven when a precious soul decides to make Jesus their choice. And if you're here, you're in the body already, but you have not been steadfast and unmovable, I want to encourage you to come this morning and renew your covenant, rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, and spend the rest of your days as a faithful servant in his kingdom. May God bless you to make a God-honoring decision as we together stand.
Come from the loathsome way of sin, hide you in the blood of Jesus. Come, for the Lord will take you in, hide you in the blood of Jesus. Oh, hide you in the blood, for the storms are raging high. Oh, hide you in the blood till the dangers pass you by. Come to the shelter's safe retreat. Hide you in the blood of Jesus. Come, for the storms around you beat. Hide you in the blood of Jesus. Oh, hide you in the blood, for the storms are raging high. Oh, hide you in the blood, till the dangers pass you by.
Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will. You've come today. You've heard the message. You've followed me prayerfully in your Bible. Are you in the church of the Bible? You believe that you're saved? Why do you believe that you're saved? Why do you believe that God blessed men to write by the power of His Holy Spirit what was preached by the power of the Holy Spirit and reserve it down through the centuries, even to our century, so that we have the Word of God? Don't base your salvation on friendship. That's where my friends go. Jesus says, I came down to do my Father's will. You need to know the Father's will. The Father's will is that His Son die, shed His blood, and pay the price for humanity's sin and the establishment of the Church of Christ. The only church that you read about in your Bible is the Church of Christ. It's the only one that Jesus died for. And it's the only one that's recorded in history that existed during the lifetime of the apostles, because they were guided by the Holy Spirit and they all taught the same thing. That's in your Bible. So how do you believe, by what biblical precedence do you believe that God saved you and put you in another church, other than the one you read about in the Bible? And don't you think it would be unfair of God if His Son died for a church and said that He adds folk to that church and not tell us what church it is? Don't follow the crowd. Follow what the book says. And your Bible, Churches of Christ, Romans 16, salute you. We're going to sing one more stanza. And if you've deviated from the Lord, you know the Lord is not pleased with you, but I'm not ready now. How do you know you're going to live long enough to get ready? If you know the Lord, you've been baptized into the body of Christ, but you know that you're not walking with the Lord, and you're going to wait a while, who guaranteed that you're going to be around on the day that you have decided? I think I read somewhere, the day you hear my voice, don't be stubborn. Harden not your heart. Don't play Russian roulette with God, with your soul, with your life. May God bless you to make a God-honoring choice as we sing one more verse.